The following Dafyomi recording begins with today's Daf from the 13th International Cycle. It's followed by a very fast review of the Daf that allows you to listen to the whole Daf within 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by exactly the same Daf at greater length, deeper explanations, and with a completely different group of people, either from the previous 12 cycle or even the 11th, and sometimes even the 10th. Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Gimel, and we were holding one third of the way down after the discussion of the Sukkah of Aleni Hamalka, and we're up to Omer of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Omer of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, halacha tzricha shetei machazeket rosho v'rubo v'shulchano. Now the truth is that this particular psak halacha about the minimal size of a sukkah is really not nogea our sugya. We just opened the door to it. It's a sabachokas later on between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. We mentioned in passing that maybe that was the machloket between the two different approaches in Rav as to whether the minimal was the seven tvachim by seven tvachim, which is machzek and rosh rubo v'shulchano, or whether the minimum is four amot by four amot, which was the other way of Rav's learning the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachomim. But really, we ended up by saying that it ain't necessarily so. There may be a complete agreement about the minimal size of a sukkah. Nonetheless, despite the fact that we have moved on, the Gemara just wants to close the sugya by mentioning the psak halacha about the size of a sukkah. So it says, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, halacha lamaisa tzrichat shtei machzeket rosho v'rubo v'shulchano. A sukkah has to be large enough for an individual to sit in it rosho v'rubo, and it also has to include sufficient table space for him to be able to sit and eat there. And that earns up being 7 by 7 tefachim. I will see there's another shita later on that lowers it yet a little bit more, which is Beit Hillel shita without shulchano, because rosho v'rubo. Shulchano can be elsewhere, which would mean that it would only have to be 6 by 6 tefachim. Omele Reba Abba, now, wait a minute. Why are you paskening like that? Isn't that, come on, Kibbe Shammai? Are you paskening like Beit Shammai? Omar like, indeed I am. Ella, come on. And who else would I pasken like? And it turns out that this indeed is one of the six places where Rav Amram Gong brings, six places where we pasken like Beit Shammai, and this is one of them. Another lotion in this, Igre Amre, boils down to the same thing, is that Reb Abba said, who was the author of that? Amar Reb Abba, the Amar Lachamani, which Tana was the source of that? Omale, and he told him, it's Beit Shammai, velot tazuzmina, and do not question it. That's absolutely the halacha in this case. Market for Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak. I don't understand why everybody is taking for granted that there is a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about the minimal size of a sukkah. I don't see why you're assuming that that was the machloket. Actually, the machloket may be very different. The case, as we'll see later on in the Mishnah, that argues Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel seems to be talking about where someone is sitting in a sukkah, and the sukkah may be a very large sukkah. And the only question is whether his table has to be in the sukkah or not. Maybe he's sitting near the door of the sukkah. And now the machlokas is, can you eat and make sure that you don't bend your head out of the sukkah even though your table's outside the door or not? Who's to say that the machlokas is whether the sukkah has to be capable of holding your table? Maybe everybody agrees it has to be capable of holding your table. But what if your table's not in the sukkah? That's a different question, isn't it? So therefore, I don't understand, says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Mimai de Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. What makes you think that Beit Shammai Beit Hillel are arguing in a sukkah ketana pligi? Dilma b'sukkah gedola pligi. Maybe they're arguing about whether the table has to be in the sukkah, not whether the sukkah has to be large enough for the table. And the case would be in that mishnah, could go to Yatif HaPuma de Matulta. Somebody is sitting right at the door, entryway, into his very large sukkah, and his shulchan is outside of the sukkah. The shulchan is inside the kitchen. So shulchanu b'toch habayit. And there the question has nothing to do with the size of the sukkah. The question has to do whether we make a gezerah that if your sukkah is outside, if your shulchan is outside, you may bend over and end up eating where your table is instead of the sukkah. So Beit Shammai Savri Gazrinan Shema Yimashech Achar Shulchano. Whereas Beit Hillel says, look, as long as he actually eats the sukkah, who cares where his table is? Beit Hillel Savri, we do not make such a gezira. And by the way, if you read the Mishnah carefully, it's pretty clear that I'm right. Read that. Dekanami, Diktari. The Mishnah reads as follows. Mi shahaya roshov rubo besukav shulchanov betoch habayit. A person who was sitting mostly with his sukkah, with his table in the kitchen. Bechamai poslin upitidel makshirin. Now, I mean, if the question over here is whether the sukkah has to be large enough, why does it say a person was sitting in such a fence? Nothing to do with whether the person was sitting. It has to do with how large the sukkah is. So the Mishnah should have said, a sukkah she'ena machzeket ela roshov rubo. Or a sukkah machzeket roshov rubo v'shulchano. That's the question. What does it have to do with how the guy happens to be sitting there? Se'im ita. What should be the question? Machzeket or ena machzeket miboyle. So therefore, I suggest that the Mishnah supports my contention, says Reb Nachman. They're not even discussing a case about the size of the sukkah. They're discussing a case where it happens to be that the guy's next to the door. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. That's a nice diyuk, but it cannot be the whole story, because b'sukkah ktana lo pliga, you're telling me that there's no machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about the minimal size of a sukkah as to whether we need that extra tefach for the shulchan? V'atanya, machzeket. Now here it says clearly, if the sukkah is big enough for Rosho Rubo v'shulchano, say the Tanakama, it's kosher. Rebbe argues, and Rebbe says, no, it has to be arba amot al arba amot minimum. Now, read the next braita. Seems to be the same thing, but if you look carefully, it's not the same at all. V'tanya idach, the other braita says, that Rebbe holds kol sukkah shein ba'arba alamot al arba amot psula. Fine, that's perfectly consistent. Now look at what the Chachomim say here. The Chachomim omrim, no, you don't need it to be so big, even if it's ena machzeket ela roshov rubo, what happened to shulchano? Apparently, you don't need shulchano. Ela roshov rubo, it's kshera. V'ilu shulchano, lo katonic, conspicuously, leaves out shulchano. Now how do you explain that? Kashana dodi. Obviously, we have two arguing brightot over here. The only possible conclusion is that indeed there are two shitot in the Chachomim, one al libet Beit Shammai, one al libet Beit Hillel, as to the minimum of size of a sukkah, not the question of where the guy happens to be sitting in a large sukkah. Says Marzutra, by the way, take a look back at that Mishnah, and you'll see that indeed that's the case. Of course, we were medayik a minute ago that that's not the case, which is going to be a problem, as we'll ask in a moment. But if you look carefully, what does it say there? It says, Beit Shammai poslin u'Beit Hillel machshirim. Now that word, posel, kosher, is a reference to a person? No, it's a reference to the sukkah. Is the sukkah kosher or posel? If the question between them was whether the person is yotzei by sitting next to the door, what does that have to do with kosher or posel? It should say yatsa or lo yatsa. So obviously the Mishnah, imita, if you are right that the question is the case, Beit Shammai amrim lo yatsa is what it should have said. Beit Hillel amrim yatsa is what it should have said. Miboyle. Wait a minute. So then we have contradictory diyukim in the Mishnah. Velakash, I mean, we just showed that the Mishnah opened up with an obvious reference to a large sukkah where the guy happens to be sitting next to the door. Mishahaya, it says over there, as we remember, Daik Roshova Rubava Sukkah, Vishokanabatokabay. So it was clearly a problem of the case, not of the building. I'd explain this. I explain it by the ingenious density of information in the Mishnah. Obviously, by changing the focus, the Mishnah is telling you that there are two separate machlokesed between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. That's the point. And the Olam Betarte Pligin. There are two machlokesed. One is a machloket about the size of a sukkah at a minimum, and that's Besukah Ktana Pligin, in which Beit Hillel says 6x6 is sufficient, even though it won't fit your shulchan, in which Beit Shammai says, no, you must have 7x7 because you need to be able to put your things down on a shulchan. And they're also arguing it up as sukkah gedola, and you're expected to put into the Mishnah the words that imply that there's been a change in focus. Chisuri mechasra. So what the Mishnah really is meant to say to you is as follows. Which is a case of a large sukkah where you're just sitting in a way that makes us think that you might end up eating in the house. Beit Shammai omrim lo yatsa, u'Beit Hillel omrim yatsa. That's what it should say. And that is what you have to put in there. And it's a question of whether you yotze or not. And then you continue on to add, v'she'ina machzeket ela k'dei roshav rubo bilvad. How about if the sukkah is so small that it only can contain the size of roshav rubo? Now move back to the language of the Mishnah as it reads currently. Beit Shammai poselin. That's reference to the actual binyan of the sukkah. U'Beit Hillel machshirin. So there we have both of the issues wrapped up in a Mishnah that first looked very straightforward and ends up being a lot more complicated than met the eye.
I think that the person...
Shulchan,
does that mean that it have to be there all the time when it goes to sleep?
No. It's just size.
It's the size.
Yeah. Now, Rabbanan, how do we explain the following... Is it really a focus, same focus of this machlokus between Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, Rebbe, and the Rabbanan? This din of Arba al Arba, which Rebbe says is essential for the sukkah, and the Rabbanan say are not, has a reflection in a lot of other dinim. Take a look at this. A bayit, and it's not a sukkah, but a bayit that doesn't have 4x4 amot. So here it says, well, you don't have to put a mezuzah on the door, and if the roof doesn't have a makkah, you do not have to make a makkah, it's patur min mezuzah. If a nega shows up in it, doesn't matter. It's not going to become tummy. If you buy it in a city that had been surrounded by a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, the halacha is that it's enu nechlat b'batei arechoma. The din of a special halacha in batei arechoma, as opposed to all other purchases of real estate, is that in a beit arechoma, you have 1 year in which to redeem it, buy it back, and after that year, it belongs to the purchaser perpetuity. Masha Enkein, a field, or a bayit anywhere else, but even a field in Batei Arechoma, is exactly the opposite. You have 2 years in which you cannot repurchase it, and then if you don't repurchase it, it's still going to return to the original owner in Yovel. Now, we have a Barnea neighborhood story about Batei Arechoma, which has not enabled Barnea to settle for 1 minute.
They just better let it get out of the system.
No, it's a very good focus because everybody sees the volcano. They just found in Shiloh the walls from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, and that it's speaking of others being considered as to whether Shiloh, in the modern Shiloh, will only read on Tesvav. Because they're some of Venera. They haven't had it till now. They've had many ancient walls, but not from the time of Yeshua. For some reason, I don't understand. The ben Nun holds, that makes a difference.
Okay. Excellent. Tried to call you, no answer.
Yes.
After a word from our sponsor for settling in Yesha, let us continue. So that this is not considered to be a house. For all intents and purposes, it's a garage or a parking lot. And therefore, it's Yotzeviyova. If you made one of these homes, the din is that you've got a year. If you have a real home, you have a year to get out of the army, but not for a house like this. It's got to be Arba al Arba Amot. Furthermore, if this house is one of the homes in a chutzner, it's not a problem. It does not make you need an Eruv with it. So it's not large enough to be called a home. And if it's the only home in a chutzner that is open to a Movui, it doesn't require you to have a Shituf in the Movui. And if there are other homes that do require an Eruv, you cannot put the Eruv in this house because it doesn't even count as a home. It's just like leaving it in the yard. And enosin oto ibur bin shtei ayarot. Normally, if you've got a house that extends the city, so then if you have 70 amot approximately, a little bit more than 70 amot, you are able to extend the entire city. And if two cities are next to each other, they then become one city for the Tum, which has tremendous nafkaminas. This house is not big enough to do it. It's not called a house. It does not extend the city. And if two heirs inherit such a home, or if a partnership wants to split up and they own such a home, they cannot be mechay of each other. At least that's what we think it means. We'll see. It doesn't quite mean that. But they can't force each other to split a house like this because it's too small to be called a house. Anyway, this tells us that for all intents and purposes, less than 4x4 doesn't satisfy the minimal requirements of a home. That sounds like exactly the machlokas we had here between Rebbe and the Rabbana vis-a-vis the sukkah. And it would mean that this all would only be true according to Rebbe. But according to the Rabbana, a set of sukkah could be less than 4x4. Then apparently a home less than 4x4 would be a home and would be machayev even an eruv and would be considered to be an ibur rich tayyarot and so on and so forth, right? No, says the Gemara, not right. Because a field tamer Rabbana, look. I mean, it's all a function, not of size particularly. It's a function of function. That's what it is. So does the thing work for what it's meant to be, or does it not? All the Rabbanan were saying is that for a sukkah, it works. Why? Because a sukkah is, by definition, a dirat arai. And if somebody needed to move out of their home for a fumigation or something, they would live in a hotel room of that size, especially if they were in Europe somewhere. They would live in a hotel room of that size for a night, you know. Aval, the gabe, buy it. If you're telling me that this should satisfy the minimal requirements of a house, where over there it's dirat kevahu, then the Rabbana may very well be moded to Rebbe also, that I feel a Rabbana mode. Only if it has arba mot al arba mot, is it something that's considered to be a home for people. The dai Rebbe inche, the ilo, lo dai Rebbe inche. Of course, that doesn't apply to the Rav Yehudi, where people gladly will rent a closet for 5,000 shekels.
And get it.
Yeah. Omamar. Patur minamezuzah. Now, I just want to know, I mean, you mentioned, obviously it's not our sugya, but I want to know what the source is that is something has to be 4x4. I mean, you're telling me it's patur minamezuzah from a maket, sabatam ibn egoyim, it's not nechlapibot yorei choma, it's not chosun alav miolchei milchama. I mean, where do I know that from? Well, because if you take a look at the psukim, each and every one of those sugyot, it says beferish the word betecha, mezuzot betecha, ki tivne bayit chadash, asher lo habayit, ki yimkor bet moshav irchoma, mia ish asher bana bayit chadash. So when the Torah specifies bayit, it means it has to be suitable for that kind of usage. Okay, those are things which obviously the Torah defined. But how about the other things, like ein mishtatfim bo, ein minichim bo eruv? Well, that's simple svara. My time is lo chazi l'dira. I mean, the idea over there is with the Rabbanan were mechayev for separate rishuyos of diurim. I mean, if it's not something that's suitable to live in, then by definition, there are no separate diurim. No. Okay. Now, by the way, the mashmaut is, it says you cannot put an eruv in it, but apparently you could put a shituf of a mavui in it. In other words, let's say that anyway there's the shituf of the mav. There's other people living, other people in the chutz, right? So I'm not, I have to make a shituf. And I want to put the shituf in this little thing. That's okay. Why is that? That you can't put an eruv, but you can put a shituf. Shituf menichim bo my time. Well, that's obvious. A shituf of a mavui can be put in the yard. This is not going to be worse than the yard, right? And an eruv has to be put in a home. And in my time, the logora michatzer shebemavui. It's not worse than leaving it in the yard. It's not. We misread a Mishnah originally that says a ruvei chatzerot belong in the chatzer, and shituvei of a mavui belong in the mavui. To which the Gemara said, "What? That makes no sense at all." Ve'avinamo, a ruvei chatzerot are put in a chatzer, but you can't put it in a chatzer. V'atnan hanotene ruvo. Even in a Beit Shar, or the Achsadram, or Pes, even if it's a porch, or it's a small room for a shomer, like we have in the parking lot here, that's not called an Eruv. So how do you put it in the yard? And if you live in a place like that, that does not mechayev you in an Eruv. It doesn't aser the other people. So obviously we're misreading the Mishnah. Okay, correct. So Ela Ema, Eruvei Chatzerot belong in the Chatzer, meaning belong in one of the homes in the Chatzer. And the shituf mevaot belong in one of the chatzerot that opens in the mavui. Okay, so now you're telling me, can I put it in this thing? Well, why not? It's haylo gora. I mean, it's certainly not worse than leaving it out in the open, right? So haylo gora mechatzer shebemavui. Okay, that makes sense. How about the next piece? You cannot consider it to be an extension of a city if it's within 70 amot. Now, that's really interesting because if you have a borgenin, now a borgenin is basically like a lean-to kind of thing, where it's made for either as a hide for hunters, So obviously, it's a little tiny thing. It has a space to look. So bird trappers used to use this kind of thing. Or if it's used for a shomer of a sadeh, who stays out there at night, needs to be there. That the Arabs around don't make off with all of your agriculture like the new shomer organization does. So all of this is enough, even though it's a tiny little thing, it's enough to be considered an extension between two cities, which is interesting because, I mean, this is certainly better than that. And yet it doesn't even count as much as that. Why is that? In other words, we don't even give it the din of a hunter's hide. Why would that be? My time, huh? Because, as we said before, it's a function of function. A burgenin works for what it's supposed to be. This doesn't work for what it's supposed to be. That's the issue. So a burgenin is chazal mil tayu. It works for what it's meant to work for. But this thing pretends to be a house, and it isn't. And high, lo chazi lemilte, does not work as a house. Okay, next thing you said was that inheritors of this so-called house, so the heirs cannot force each other to be cholik, at least that's what we think it means, or partners in a dissolving partnership cannot force a chaluk of a house like this. Now, what that implies to me is that it's only because it doesn't have four amot. But if it had four amot, then you'd be fine with it, right? I mean, it's part of the list of minimal four amot. So what you seem to be saying is, time at a let be arba amot. But if eat be arba amot, you would be able to force a chalukah. But that isn't true. Because the Mishnah says clearly, that's not. Ein chokin et hachatzer, ad she arba amot lezeh, arba amot lezeh. It's not enough to be four amot. It has to be four amot for each user. How can you force a guy to split something that will provide nobody with sufficient space? So why do you tell me that it should have said if it's 8x4, not if it's 4x4? Ella Emma, you're right. It doesn't mean ein cho kimbo. It means bo ein bo din chalukat chatzer or chalukah bichatzer. This kichatzer is a mistake. So the din is like this. As we're going to see, there's a machloket. Whether we prorate the usage of a chatzer according to the number of units in the chatzer, with doors, with separate doors, or whether each particular doorway requires a parking space in front of it in a chatzer, but then the rest is split evenly and is not prorated. So it's split evenly between the actual owners. Okay, that is a question, a general zoning question in Chalukah, but either way would not apply to a doorway to a unit that is less than 4x4. That's what it's talking about. Neither would it give you prorated rights to the chatzer, nor would it even provide you with a parking space because it's too small to be mechayev of a parking area. And therefore, the Omar Rav Huna, chatzer, according to Rav Huna, we prorate the chatzer according to the number of doors. So if somebody has one large home that may be three times as big as another person's three units, which are like little, you know, servant quarters and so on, each one with its own door, it doesn't matter. We prorate the chatzer according to the number of doors because it's the door into the chatzer that indicates the usage of the chatzer. Whereas Rav Chisda says, no, it doesn't define the whole chatzer. What we do is we are noten kopetach kopetach arbamot. Each door has right in front of it a parking area of 4x4, but then everything else is split according to the ownership. Vashar chokinoto b'shaveh, doesn't matter how many units you own. Anyway, so what this is saying is that if it isn't four itself, 4x4, the anime li bayit, since a bayit is meant to stay there permanently, to the mahavikoi, so it makes sense when we're splitting the chatzer that we have to split it according to, as the case may be, either prorated or give it a parking area, so yavin le chatzer. But something like this, which is useless, it doesn't function according to what it's meant to be. And therefore, essentially, it's dilamis takoy. It's standing there ready for a demolition order. So what are we going to give it a prorated place in the chatzer? Why would we give it a parking area? It doesn't make sense to take a temporary usage and define the permanent chalukah. Therefore, lo yavin and lechatzer. That's all it's saying. But you're right. To force an actual chalukah, 4x4 is certainly insufficient. It has to be 4x4 for each person. Meitvei. Sukashi gvala malam yesrim ama psula v'Rabbi Yehuda makshir ad 45 ama. Om Rabbi Yehuda, ma'aseh be'elini amalka belod shaita sukata gvala yesrim ama v'ayu zekenim nechlasim yotzim l'sham. Elom lo davar. Well, obviously, Misham Raya Ishaita Upturaman Asuka. Amalam so, she had Sheva Banim, the Oat Koma Selo Astala Pichachamim. What did he have to throw in that piece for? The Oat Koma Selo Astala Pichachamim. Maybe you'll try to tell me that they were all Banim Ktanim Ayu, Ktanim Turim Nasuka. I disagree, because given the Shiva have it, Yev Shadala Havi Bulchad, Sheino Tzrich Limo, Vichitemo. Ah, but Katan Shein Tzrich Limo is only the Rabbona need a Mechayev. Maybe Ihi Bidrabbona Lo Mashkecha. Therefore, I add the Tashma, Viot Koma Selo Astela Pichachamim. So now, our analysis is of this, that Bishlom Lamani Amar Bishin Defanot Magiot Leschach Machloket. We can say that her Sukkah was like that, because Darkasha Makal. Are you trying to tell me that Darkasho Makal Hashem Sukkah Ktana? Omer Rabba Baravada Lo Nitzchah Avav Sukkah Asuya Kitoniut Kitoniut. And you're telling me Darkasho Makal Hashem Sukkah Asuya Kitoniut Kitoniut? Omer Ravashi, no, but she could be in a small side room. Lo nitzchah lo kitoniyut shema. So Rabbanan savri banei besukah ma'al yave yatve. V'ihi yatva b'kitoniyut b'shun tzniyuta. Mishum achilo amru adavar. Whereas Rabbi Yitzchak banei agaba have yatve. V'afilo achilo amru adavar. Because it's not a problem. That's why. Omer Shul bar Rabbi Yitzchak halacha. Tzrichah shleim achzeket rosh shovru bo v'shulchano. Omer Rabbi Abba, come on, great Shammai. Like who else? I know what you want me to say, and I'm going to say it. Beit Shammai, v'lota zuzmina. Matki v'rim nachor by Yitzchak, we might have Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel b'chlal, are arguing about a sukkah ktana pligi. Dilma b'sukkah g'dola pligi. And the case is, k'onde yativ in his big sukkah, pumen ha-matulta, v'shulchano b'toch ha-bayit, and Beit Shammai savri gazrina shemi yimashech achar shulchano, u'Beit Hillel savri lo gazrina. And by the way, deikanami, read it. Yitkani misha ya. If the case was that we're arguing about the size of a sukkah, so then machzeket or ain't a machzeket mi boila. But are you trying to say besukkah ktana lo plige? V'otanya machzeket roshav ruba v'shulchanot kshera. Rabbi Omer achi barba amot al arba amot. And then the other brayta says Rabbi Omer kosti kashen barba amot al arba amot psula. V'chachom yomon miyafilin machzeket roshav ruba. It's kshera and doesn't mention shulchanu lo katani. So clearly kashen adari, unless we say elav shmamina. In which case they are arguing about the minimal size of a sukkah. Or Marmazut and the Mishnah is also Deka. Minitani Beit Shammai Poslin, Ubeit Hillel Machshirin. If the question was whether the person is Yotze and wasn't the question on the Bayit, it should have said Beit Shammai Amrim Lo Yatza, Ubeit Hillel Amrim Yatza Mi Boile. But, I mean, so what about our other deal? Zin Kasha Mishaya, unquote. Ah, Leolam Betarte Pligi. Plige besukah ktana, uplige besukah gdola, vechisro mechas rovachi katani. Mi shaya rosho v'rubo besukah, v'shulchano betoch habayit, Beit Shammai amrim lo yatsa, u'Beit Hillel amrim yatsa. Furthermore, she'ena machzeket al kedei rosho v'rubo b'vad, Beit Shammai poslin, u'Beit Hillel machshirin. Now, man tanu lo hod tanu rabbonan, a bayit she'en bo arba amot al arba amot, in many ways fails halachic criteria, and therefore it's potter min hamezuzah, it's potter min hamakeh, it's ein hametami bin hagoyim, ein hanechlat b'batei harechoma, ein chozrin alav meorchei hamilchama, ein ma'arvin bo, ein mishtatfin bo, ein melichin bo eruv, ein osin oto yibur bin shtei hayarot, ve'ein ha'achin v'ashutafim chokin bo. Shall we say that that too is going only alibi de Rebbe, but according to Rabbanan, it would indeed be chayev b'mezuzah and so on? No. Afilu teimer rabbonon. Ah, kan lo kamer rabbonon atab l'nitzukah d'dirat arayi, and therefore 7 by 7 or 6 by 6 is sufficient. Aval agabi bayit d'dirat kvahu afilu rabbonon mode. Yit be'arba amot al arba amot dairei be'inche ilolo dairei be'inche. Omamar. You say it's potter ben amazuzah ben amakeh and amatamim ben goyim in a nechlat batei arichoma in chazun ala miyarchim milchama. Those are all the oraita. Why? Because the Torah said the word bayit in each case. Bayit k'tiru b'kulu. אין מערבין בו, אין משתתפין בו, אין מניחין בו עירוב, מי טיימה? Because the whole point is דירה. And these are not חזיר לדירה. Okay. עירוב וחצרות הם מניחים בו. The משמעות is that שיתוף מבואות, you are allowed to מניחים בו. What's the meaning of that? מי טיימה? Because it's לא גורם מחוצר שבמבוי. תצלן עירובי חצרות בחוצר, שיתובי מבוי שבמבוי. And we ask the obvious question, what? עירובי חצרות בחצר, ותתן, הנותן עירובו, even in a בית שער, in an אכסדרה, in a מרפסת, is not even kosher עירוב. And someone who lives in a בית שער, מרפסת, and so on, אינו עושר. אלא, clearly, what the Mishnah means is, אימא, עירובי חצרות בבית שבחצר, שיתופי מבואות בחצר שבמבוי. So they're exactly parallel. Now, certainly, this little house is not going to be worse than out in the open. צאי לא גורם מחצר שבמבוי. ואין עושים אותו עיבור בין שתי עיירות, means that it's even less than a בורגנים, לא משווין עליי. And why is that? Because a בורגנר at least חוזר למלטייר, it works. But I לא חוזר למלטייר. Next thing you said was, אין האחים ושותפים חוקים בו, which seems to be saying that the only problem is that you don't have ארבע על ארבע. But if you had ארבע על ארבע, you could force a חלוקה, but that isn't so. Because atzlan ain't chokin at the chaser sheba arba amot leze varba amot leze. So how can you say only arba al arba? Ela emo einbo din chalukat chaser or einbo din chalukah bichaser. The Omer Vuna chaser lefi p'tachel mitchaleket on a prorated basis, and Rav Chista says no, it's not prorated entirely. First noten lechopetach chopetach arba amot, and then you split according to the ownership. Vashar chokin oto bishave. So these don't get a parking lot. The honey mealy buy it, because at least the Mahavi Koya Ivnale. But a chotzer, sorry, Ivnale chotzer. But I, which is only meant to be demolished, the Lamitzakoi, lo Yavinale chotzer.
Okay, today's daf is daf Gimel, Masechet Sukkah. We got up to the end of the discussion of Rini Amalka and the Kitoni Utsheba. So we're holding now almost a third of the way down. Omer Shmuel by Yitzchak, Halachat, Chashte Machazeket, Rosho, Rubo, Veshulchanu. We learned earlier that there was some discussion as to where the Machlokis was between Rabbi Yud and the Rabbana, whether it was in a sukkah of limited size or of minimal size, which was Machzekes, Rosho, Rubo, Veshulchanu, whether it was a sukkah of Arba by Arba. Now we're getting directly to the machlokas of what the actual size of a sukkah has to be. Yesterday we said that that may well not be the machlokas that we had yesterday. There was just a question where the machlokas of Rabbon and Rabbi Yehuda applied. But here we're finally going to talk about what indeed is the minimal size of a sukkah. So Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak says that the sukkah has to be large enough to hold your body, Rosh Avarubo, and your table. Now we'll see later on that according to Beit Hillel, the sukkah does not have to be large enough to hold the table. Therefore, Amar Lei Rabba Kaman Ke Beit Shammai, are you saying this Aliba de Beit Shammai because you mentioned that it needs to contain the table? Amar Lei Ela Kaman, who do you think I'm saying it like? I know how to read a Mishnah. Ikede Amri, others say, Amar Lei Baba, the Amar Lei Kamani. According to the other version, Rabba asked him, I don't understand, whose shita is that? Amar Lei Beit Shammai, Velota Zuzmina. I know what you're asking. It's Beit Shammai Shita, and indeed, don't even think about not keeping it. Because indeed, this is how we paskin, and that's Tosfos brings the Siddur of Amram Gon lists six places where we paskin like Beit Shammai, and this is one of those places that you need Rosho, Rubo, Vishulchano in the Sukkah. Maskifor of Nachum Yitzchak, I don't understand why you're so sure that such a machlokas exists. The Mishnah discusses about Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about a case where a person is sitting in a sukkah and his table is in the house. And what does that have to do with how big the sukkah is? You're assuming that since they're arguing about a large sukkah where the table's in the house, that that's the question of the size of the sukkah? Because certainly the case in the Mishnah is not a case where the sukkah is a limited size. Look at the words. Matke varu nachumayiz mi mai de Beit Shammai Beit Hillel b'sukkah k'tana b'ri. Maybe they're talking about a very large sukkah,
And the question over here, is there a gzeira as to whether if he has sukkah, even though he has a large sukkah, but his shulchan is by the door. He's leaning over the shulchan. It's a big charm. I hope there's a gzeira. Maybe he'll end up putting his head outside of the sukkah. Nothing to do with the shear of the sukkah. The man is sitting at the door of his sukkah. Maybe that's the case. The Beit Shammai Savrei Gazrina Shema Yimashech Achar Shulchano. According to Beit Shammai, the Rabbanim made a gzeira that we're worried that he's going to end up not eating in the sukkah by bending over inadvertently out. Beit Shammai Savrei Lo Gazrina. If you take a look at the words of the Mishnah, you'll see that that's clearly what the Mishnah is referring to. Because Dekanami Diktami Mishaya Roshov Rubovis Besukah. No, betoch habayit. You see those words? Misha haya roshov rubo. Who's it talking about here? The sukkah or the person? It's talking about the person, how he's sitting. Misha haya, a person is sitting. Roshov rubo in the sukkah. Shulchono betoch habayit. That's all it says. Beit Shammai poslin betilei machshirin. Ne'im ita. If the way you were assuming that we're talking about the size of a sukkah, so then it shouldn't talk about misha haya. It should be talking about sukkah shemachzeket, or eino machzeket el rosh ruba v'shulchano, right? But what are you talking about? Mishaya. Imita machzeket ve'eino machzeket miboyle. The question is, does it hold just that, or does it hold more? I mean, that's what you should have argued about. It has nothing to do with the person. Excuse me? You're telling me the sukkah k'tana lo plinko? And what, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are not arguing about the size of a sukkah? I mean, it says beferush in the Braita, v'atanya machazeket roshov rubo v'shulchano kshira. If you have a sukkah that's just large enough for your head, most of your body, and the table, it's kosher, according to the Tanna Kamma. Rebbe says, no, a sukkah is only kosher. Ache barba amot al arba amot. Here, by the way, is finally the shita that we were looking for earlier. I said, maybe that's good for the machlokas, what the shiur is of a sukkah. So far we've seen two shiurim. The shiur of Rebbe that we just had, you need to have a sukkah of arba al arba amot. And we saw earlier, when we began the sukkah today, Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, who holds that the sukkah has to be large enough to hold, Rosho Rubo v'shulchano. We've postulated that there's also a third shita, which is the shita of Beit Hillel, that the sukkah has to be large enough to hold Rosh of Rubo, but not Shulchano. Now we questioned whether indeed there is such a shita of Beit Hillel, and now we're trying to prove that indeed there is. Why? Because... height we have either, in other words, we know either review the sheet, it doesn't matter how high, as long as it's not lower than 10 tvachim, or the rabbanan sheet of between 10 tvachim and 20 amot. Yeah, that's the norm. Remember, that's why they ate. They ate lying down. So, one brighter notice has a machlokas between Rebbe, who holds arba al arba, and a certain Tanakama, unnamed, who holds machzeket rosh of ruba v'shulchana. But there's another brighter that has a different machlokas between Rebbe and another Tanakama. This brighter says like this: Tanya ida, Rabbi Omer kol sukkah she'ein ba arba amot al arba amot psulav. Okay, very good. We know that shita. But look at this. V'chachamim omrim, afilu eino machzeket el rosho v'rubo, without saying a word about shulchano, rosho v'rubo k'shera, v'ilu shulchano lo katani. Here the Rabbanan that argue on Rebbe don't say a word about needing shulchano. So how do you explain that? Kashin adari. You're going to tell me over here that one of these brightas is wrong? I don't love Shmamin. Obviously, one of them is expressing the Shita Beit Shammai. One of them is expressing the Shita Beit Hillel. I mean, so clearly there is such a machloket. How Beit Shammai about Hillel? Says Mar Zutra. You know, if you look back at that Mishnah that you made the cornerstone of your argument, that the machloket of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is not about how big a sukkah is, but about where a guy is sitting in a sukkah of any size. You look again, you'll see that you're wrong. The Mishnah is medayik, in fact, that they're arguing about the size of the sukkah. Because what was the machloket? Beit Shammai poslin, Beit Hillel machshirin. What do you mean poslin or machshirin? But they're posseling the guy? They're being machshir the guy? Mishaya roshov rubo? What, is he a kosher Jew? Is he a kosher human? What, hey? Obviously they're talking about the sukkah. So the imita, if the way you understood the Mishnah was correct, that the reference was to the individual and not to the sukkah, the question should have been, Beit Shammai amrim lo yatsa,
That's what it should say. So therefore, it's clearly a reference to the sukkah, not to the person. Wait a second. So then how do you explain the opening words of the Mishnah that say, Mishaya, the guy who was sitting in a sukkah? So now the Mishnah makes no sense. We're talking about the guy or we're talking about the sukkah? No. I agree that diak is true. The Mishnah is talking about both. And it does it very efficiently. By using the word Mishaya in the Reisha, it tells us we're talking about the person and whether he was Yotze or not. And then by strangely changing the language to posel or kosher, postino marshirin, it tells us that we also apply exactly the same argument in a case where a guy is indeed in a sukkah, but the sukkah is a sukkah katana. Does it require the shulchan bifnim or not? Both things are a question. It did in the sukkah and it did in the person. So therefore, liolam betarte plige. Plige besukkah ktana, u plige besukkah gdola. And by the change of language, the Mishnah forces the reader to note the chisuri mechsera. And indeed, there's a piece missing of the Mishnah. V'hochi katani. Misha yarosh over ubo besukkah. Person is sitting in a large sukkah. He has his shulchan betoch habayit. So Beit Shammai omrim lo yatsa, u Beit Hillel omrim yatsa. But this part didn't appear in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Beit Shammai Omrim, Beit Shammai Poslim, Beit Hillel Makshirim. We're just putting this in. Furthermore, how about a sukkah that was only the correct size? Sheina Makzeket, Elikidei Rosh Avrubo V'Avad. Now get back to the Lashon of the Mishnah. Beit Shammai Poslim, Beit Hillel Makshirim. So in other words, there's two separate clauses in the Mishnah. One a reference to the man, one a reference to the building. So now it turns out that we have three shitot indeed. Three shitot, but two separate machlokot. Three shitot in how large a sukkah has to be. According to Rebbe, four amot by four amot, he stresses the dirat kiva. It has to be a dirat. It has to be a normal home. The other shita is Beit Shammai, who says one step lower. You don't need four by four amot, but you do need a large enough sukkah to hold your body and the table that you're eating on. He holds that you need to have a kviut in the sukkah, perhaps. Then we have Beit Hillel Shita, who holds the sukkah is a dirat arai, what's an afkamina? As long as you're in the sukkah, who cares whether you have a table or not? You don't even need that. Then we have a different machlokas. Is there a gzera that if a person is eating with his head over a table, and the table is outside a sukkah, in which case he may end up sticking his head out and keep it mamish over the table. Machlokas, do we have such a gzera or not? Says Beit Shammai, even if you have the biggest sukkah in the world, if you're sitting at the edge of the sukkah and you're eating, how do you know you won't stick your head out? So we make a gzera that you can't eat in that fashion. So it's the size of the sukkah. Different machlokas.
Rebbe says, Arba. But it's still okay, just 10 Torah is enough.
Yeah. The question in the Rishonim, precisely what Rebbe Shita is, that he holds that it's Dira Kvar, or is that he's stressing the mode of Dira? This is the way I normally live. If I live in, I will see in a moment that a house is normally defined by Arba al Arba. It's an Arba al Arba. It doesn't have any of the dinim of a house. You say, what are the dinim of a house? There are a lot of dinim of a house. Only a house that's a house would require a mezuzah. A house that's a house requires a bezdin to come to the house of an Ara Murasa. A house that's a house requires a ma'akeh on the roof. A house that's a house is something that requires you to have an eruv. If it's a house in a chotzer, a house that's a house defines the shtetum of a city and starts from that point, and so on and so forth. There is a very technical definition of a house, as we'll see in a moment. That technical definition of a house indeed requires 4x4. So says the Gemara, man tana lo tana rabbonet. Who then would be the author of the following bright? If a house is not 4x4 amot, first of all, it's patur min ha-mezuzah. This is also mezuzot b'techa. It's patur min ha-ma'akeh. The Torah talks about the ma'akeh on the bayit. It's not b'tamei b'negoyim. It's a ba'a shelo ha-bayit. The beit eretz achuzatchem. It's eino nechalat b'batei arei choma. Somebody who owns a home in a city that's a walled city from the time of the Knesset Eretz Yisrael, that house is very special dinim. And according to those halachas, if the person does not buy that house back within the first year of the sale, then it becomes permanently the property of the buyer, and the seller will not get it back in Yovel. So it's in a sense the opposite of the normal dinim, where for the first 2 years you cannot buy it back.
You can be poted afterwards, and if you're not poted, it's Yotzei Yovel. Here it's the exact opposite. That din is a din bayit, beit moshav yirchoma. If it's not a technical bayit, it's not 4x4, it doesn't have that din, and has the same din as an open field. You can buy it back at any time, and then it's Yotzei Yovel. Ein chozrin alav miorchei milchama. That's a nice one. Guy builds a house, and it's not 4 amot by 4 amot. This would be the greatest way to get out of miluim. You know, every time you get a tzav, you put up a little shack, a little butka, you know. Sorry, but I just put up a new house. No. It's got to be 4 amot by 4 amot. So that's another thing. Ein ma'arvim bo. If such a house is in a chatzer, together with another person who owns a house, doesn't require an eruv because it's not really living there. In mishtatfim bo, if you have a mavui to which open two chatzerot, and in one of these chatzerot there's only this house instead of two normal houses, this house doesn't count as a house. Doesn't require a shituf. In menichin bo eruv, if this house is a home in a chatzer that has, let's say, five other real houses, so those five houses make an eruv. They can't put the Eruv in that house, because the whole point of an Eruv is to say we all live together in this house, but that isn't a house. So not only is it not Machayev you an Eruv, you can't even put an Eruv in it, in a chotzer where you're making an Eruv between other real houses. The Ein Osinoto Ibur Ben Shtei Ayarot. If you have two cities that are getting close to each other, expanding towards each other, once they reach a certain critical mass within approximately 70 amot, we'll see, we spoke about this actually in Erevin, how we get that shear. It's approximately 70 amot, so four additional tvachim, because we analyzed the diagonal with the Chatzar HaMishkan and so on, if you remember the whole cheshbon there. So this house would extend the city. So that if it's an ibur, we use also ibur, it's a pregnant city, so to speak, because this house is its stomach sticking out, and we now would expand the city in that direction. So if it's a real house, then once the cities meet, then we give a free area called a karfath in between, which is considered to be a single tomb for both cities. Truth is, Tosfos changes the girsa. It doesn't hold that it should have anything to do with two cities, because it's basically a question of whether the tomb of the city begins at the stomach. So we have to extend the city outward to meet the stomach. Why do we have to talk about a case of two cities? But the Rabbeinu Tam says that indeed this is the tale of the two cities. Because, this particular case, it's only, you know, it's sticking out there. But there is a sheet of the Rabbeinu Old will only give a karfaf if there's two cities. Not if there's just one, we don't extend the karfaf. But it certainly would be nogea both halachos. Is it an extension of a city or not? He did apologize, by the way, for his anti-Semitic remarks, you know, in Dickens. Yeah. He wrote a letter of apology. The question is whether it was because the publisher was under pressure, not published. So, but anyway, getting back to the story. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam
Shekinah. Amen.
In any event, all of these dinim, which require arba amot by arba amot, sounds as if this is going only according to Rebbe, because Rebbe was the one who insisted that the sukkah is only called a sukkah if it's 4x4. So it's apparently Rebbe who holds that a bayit is not considered to be a bayit unless it's 4x4. Says they were, no, why say that? Afilu tema rabbanan, it may well be so according to Rabbanan as well. At kadloka mi rabbanan hata melaleinian sukkah, didirata rai. The Rabbanan were only willing to accept a sukkah of less than 4x4. It would be enough just to hold machzeket rosho rubova shulchano. That's because a sukkah is not meant really to be a house. It's meant to be a camping out situation. Didirata rai. So the Mela will accept, on a temporary basis, a dirat arai, even less than arba amot al arba amot. Mashen came when it comes to a house of a bayit, a gabi bayit, the dirat kvahu. A house is defined as something that people are willing to live in all around. Dirafil rabbanim, the rabbanim would certainly agree there. The eat be arba amot al arba amot, dairei be inche, vilo lo dairei be inche. Only a house that is 4x4 is considered to be suitable for human habitation all year round, unless, of course, you live in New York, in which case a box would be fine of a refrigerator, and it seems to be good enough for all year.
Over events.
How about those slugs in Japan?
Over events in the sun.
Yeah, Brahman's is his first house. It's Shailen, but it was born in the park.
the slots that they now sell in Japan? Those slots you sleep in, rent a hotel room, is literally a...
Yeah, but that's a dirat arai.
Yeah, but it could be for somebody,
No, I mean, it could be. It isn't. That's the point.
It starts off as a right, I understand. With that class right now.
Mitulta is a sucker. Shade. Tsel, tal, talon, talala. Talala is shade. Oh, my mark. Patura, let's go over the cases. I don't know how you're so sure that it's Patura min ha-mezuzah, min ha-makeh, min ha-tambe ben ha-goyim, inu nechlat b'batei arei choma, inu kuzrin alav miyorchei milchoma. How are you so sure about that? My time. What do you mean? Because the word bayit, the feirish, occurs in all of these. Mezuzot b'techa. Kitivne bayit chadash. Uba shelo ha-bayit. Beit eretzach v'chuzatchem. Ki imkor beit moshav yirchoma. Bayit. This is the definition of bayit. Ve'ein ma'arvin bo, ve'ein mishtatvin bo, ve'ein menichim bo eruv. What's the reasoning there? I mean, obviously those are drabon and dins have nothing to do with bayit. No, there it's very simple. The lo chazi ledira. I mean, that's not viewed as a place to live. And the whole point of an eruv is that since a house in which people live now creates a mixed rishus in the chotzer, so therefore they require a single bayit, a formal single bayit in which they all live. This is neither a bayit in which people live to create the chiyuv, nor is it a formal bayit to be the place where we could say they all live. It's certainly not suitable for all to live. Therefore, it's not creating the need for an eruv, and if it's such a need exists because of other batim, it can't serve as the place which gathers together, integrates the rest of the chotzer to be the place where we keep the eruv. That's very simple. So that's the eruv echatzerot, you're telling me. Okay, I understand you said eruv. Ein menichim bo. But in other words, you didn't say that you can't. You said you can't, you don't need to make a sheet of mivo'ot if this is the house in the chatzer. But you never said you cannot put the sheet of mivo'ot, which would be necessary for other chatzerot, that you can't put it in this house. Sometimes apparently you could. Shituf menichim bo. Why is that? Why not? Logora michatzer shebemavui. Where do you normally put the shituf? You just put it in the chatzer. It doesn't need to be in a house, because the shituf of mevot, we're just trying to say that the chatzerot are joined. So what's an afkamin if I put it in this joint? So forget it. The joint is nothing. No? So it's like it's outside. So it's not worse than leaving it just to the chatzer and the mevot. The tanan, take a look where you're supposed to put a shituf as opposed to where you're supposed to put an eruv. Eruvei chatzerot. Bechatzer. Now, obviously that can't be true, but we'll fix it in a moment. So the Eruv is put in the Chatzer. The sheet of Mavui is put in the Mavui. V'avina, but we ask, what? Eruv bechatzer. But not only can you not put an Eruv in the Chatzer, but the Mishnah says, even if you put your Eruv in a Beit Sha'ar, which is a little place where Shomer sits, a little butke, when you're coming in, where they have the magnetic detector, and they're an achsadra, where you have it inside of a portico, you know, what we call a porch in front of a house, or a mirpeset, which is not a porch in the Gemara time. The meaning of a mirpeset, technically, is a second story landing that extends in front of all of the doors to the homes along the second story landing. Balcony is used for even inside as a balcony. It's like in a motel or in Bote Ungarin. Yeah. Right. No, the portico, Rashi uses the word portico here actually in French to say the definition of the Sadra, not of the Mirpet. So he knew that one day Moshe Baruch would come along to start using fancy words. It's always Ruach HaKodesh. Rashi is perfect. He knows.
Heard that 7 years ago, though.
So, in all of these cases, it says it's not an eruv. Because you're... Why are you so far away? But it's such a pleasure to have you nearby. Can't you come closer? All right, I'll have to put on my normal glasses, though, because I still can't see. I'm just wearing reading glasses. So, if you put your eruv in that location, it's not kosher. It's not a good eruv. And hadar sham, you know, is there anybody who lives? Somebody lives in the shomer's butke. That's not considered to be a house to be mechayev an eruv. So I don't get it. How could you say that you could put an eruv of a chotzer in the chotzer if you can't even put it in the butke? Yeah, sorry, you're right. You said it wrong. What it should have said was this: Eruvei chatzerot need to be put in a bayit shebechatzer, and shitufei mevaot need to be put into a chatzer in the mavui. That's what it should have said. And this now, this little house, less than 4x4, is not any worse than putting it just in a chatzer, is it? So zelo garami chatzer shebemavui. The next thing you said was a little surprising, because you said ein osino to ibur ben shtei ayarot. That's weird, because if you remember back in Shabbat and in Eruvin, we said borgenin. Borgenin is just a shack. Take something, you lean it to like a lean-to shack, which is used by a shomer out in the field. Basically, for a night, he moves around from place to place. That a borgenin is sufficient to extend the city. Yeah, and we use that as an extension of those 70 amot. And this is a real house. It's just small. So you're telling me that this house is less than a borgenin. Why would that be? Says the Gemara. Yes. Afiluk a borgenin lo mashvin alef. We don't even give it the validity of a lean-to. My time. The reason is because the borgenin is chazor l'miltayuk. The borgenin at least is suitable for what it is. It is what it is. It's a place where one guy can sleep out overnight in a very simple fashion. And he just puts some leaves up against the wall or something and goes to sleep under it. Fine, but it does what it does. And anybody who uses the trail can sleep there for a night. But this thing is pretending to be a house. Well, it isn't any house. You know, there's a lot of things nowadays that try to do this. You know, they try to be something. If they'd only be what they were, it would be a heck of a lot nicer. But what can you do? So we have a smach in the Gemara for an awful lot of modern architecture, you know? Forget about it. It ain't what it's pretending to be. So that is not kosher at all. So a borgenin is what it is. This has pretense to being a home, and it's not a home. Now, it also adds in the Brayta, we thought that that meant that if two people inherit a house of this size, so it's not 4x4, they cannot force a chaluka. Normally, two people who own a property can force a chaluka. Say, look, I don't like living with you together. I want to put a wall down the middle. You take half, I'll take half, and you can do that. But if it's not 4x4, you can't do that. But that doesn't make any sense. Because you're timing to let be our bomb. You're saying the reason you can't do that is because it doesn't have 4 amot, which would imply that if it did have 4 amot, you can make a chaluka? That's absolutely not the case. Would have to be 8 square amot. Why are you saying 4? That's not the issue then. Sorry, I don't mean to be cholik yet. When I say ein achim ashutvim cholkim bo, what I mean is it doesn't give them rights to chaluka. Ein bo din chaluka bechatzer. What do I refer to here? Yom Rav Huna. You have a chatzer in which different people have different numbers of entranceways to their homes, or different size homes, and so on. How do you define the usage of the chatzer? So here we have a machlok. Rav Huna says the chatzer is prorated for the doors to the property, because the main purpose of a chatzer is actually for loading and for being able to have access. So if you've got 2 loading doors, so then, okay, so the other guy's only got 1, so then you need 2/3 of the chatzer, and he needs 1/3 of the chatzer. Reb Chista says, well, that doesn't make sense to me. We have a very large chatzer. Why should we prorate the whole chatzer in terms of the loading? What we do for loading is that we define an area of 4 amot in front of the door, along the length of the entire door. If it's a garage door, then it's the whole garage door. And that part is given right off the bat to your property in the chaluka. But the rest is split evenly. So there's 2 ways, but neither of those 2 ways applies to a door, to this dump that's less than 4x4. That's not considered to be a door that gives you rights to prorating a chatzer, nor is it considered to be a door that demands a loading space in front of it of 4 amot all along the length of the door. So Rav Chista amar, no tein leko petach v'petach 4 amot, v'hashar chokinoto bishaveh. Why? The hanimile bayit. Look, a house, which is meant to continue standing that way. So then Yavinin like Chatzer. It makes sense that it requires the provision for a chatzer. This thing, don't try to tell us it's going to be long for this earth. Because it doesn't fit the requirements of usage, it's basically going to be torn down. Why should that give a guy a right to prorating, or even for that matter, even to get his arba amot in front of it, when it's clearly a temporary structure, because it doesn't serve its purpose fully, and therefore basically, we look at it as a game. And you're not going to get anything in the chutzah for that.
And that's what Ein Chalkin as a chutzah.
It doesn't give them rights of chalukah, either in terms of prorating in the chutzah or providing space in front of the door.
So the masechta dedicated to temporary living, refining the permanent.
Right. We're stressing the difference between a bayit and a sukkah. That's the whole point. So Rebbe, who holds that the sukkah also needs that chashivas of the dira, says it has to be the same. If a normal dira needs to be 4x4, so does a sukkah. But if you stress the difference between semi dirat kva v'kades dirat arai, on the contrary, then a normal home indeed requires 4x4. A temporary home is like the burgen and the milte, in a sense. As long, obviously it's not literally burgenin, because it still needs to be dira. Burgenin doesn't follow the requirement of dira. So we're trying to strike a very delicate balance. By the way, I must point out to you that teishvu ke'en teduro, which we'll see is a very fundamental din in defining what things need to be done in a sukkah and what situations are b'chayiv a sukkah. Live the way you would live in your home. It's a fundamental halacha. So we're, on the one hand, we're being torn between that din, and on the other side, we have the same dirat kva, leave your home. We saw the same issue yesterday. We already brought up something of a contradiction. If you hold that sukkah is a dirat kva. So what really defines the difference between standing under the roof in your home or making something that's exactly the same but you call a sukkah? Can you define that? When we're talking about the wall. So I can't sit in the roof of my own home, despite the fact that it fits all the requirements of the sukkah roof. It's made out of little pieces of wood, which is gedule karka, not makabel tuma. They're piled one on top of the other. I paid a heck of a lot of money for it. It's a beautiful shingle wood roof. You know, for that matter, it may even be beautifully thatched. I may be a lot, real down-to-earth kind of guy. I have a thatched roof. I live in my home. Why can't I just keep sitting in my living room? What is it supposed to be? But then it's not what it is. Why can't I be where it is? I don't have to make a sukkah, l'shem sukkah, the way we paskin. You just got to finish saying I can make my walls out of steel if I want to. So my walls are nice walls. What's wrong? Fine, that's a machlokas, but we don't paskin like that. Tassav Luminosa is not a problem. I made it for sale in the first place. I made it for my house. These things all need to be defined. What exactly is a sukkah? See, we're being torn in different directions. That is exactly what the Gemara was originally thinking. If Rebbe says you need 4x4, and the Rabbanim say you don't, perhaps that's a machlokas about the nature of dira, not the nature of sukkah. Says the Gemara, no. It's actually, everybody agrees the nature of dira definitely needs 4. Question is whether dirat arai requires 4. But again, this is going to be thematic now through this entire sukkah. Lo having niyat. Say you have a sukkah that's too high. So you figure, okay, look, you know, what am I going to do now? I can't lower the walls. I got no kayak now to build a floor that lifts it up. I'll take some pillows out of my linen closet, some blankets. I'll put it down on the floor and I will lift it up. I only need it 2 inches. Now it's betoch asri mama. So now it should be kosher sukkah. Lo havi miyat. That is not considered to be a miyat because we don't believe that that is meant to be there permanently. Nobody's going to watch his beautiful quilts and pillows being stepped over for 7 days. So he's fooling us. Afagav the batulinu. Even though he says, I'm hereby mevatel this for the next 7 days, it's part of my sukkah, I don't even see a quilt. I see a beautiful carpeted sukkah. Don't step on that. It's my grandmother's quilt. Mishum batla daita yetzo kolada. We don't really view that as a meaningful bit. Yeah, for sure. And good riddance.
Would they be thick enough to make a
difference? That's a good question. Tevenu bitlo. Look, if you took straw and you were mevatel et beferush, you say, this is meant to be here. We'll see, by the way, why, who cares if it's meant to be or not meant to be here. It is here. I mean, this is now a new idea. We never met this before. Well, it's got to be there all 7 days. I can't have a sukkah that's just there for 10 minutes. Meanwhile, it's a kosher sukkah. This is something I have to figure out. Why is it saying I need to be mevatel? But let's say I have now tevet, and I'm mevatel, so I'm going to leave it here the whole time. So that is certainly considered to be a bitel, and it's a miyot. Koshke na faro bitel, for sure. If I put in dirt, fill dirt, and I say, look, I'm leaving this fill dirt here the next 7 days, for sure it's a kosher sir. My question is like this. My question is, suppose I put down straw, but I don't say I'm being mevatel, but I don't have any intention of taking it out of here either. No need for this straw. So, I mean, it's probably going to remain here. I just didn't commit myself to it. And I put down afar, and I have no idea, need it, don't need it, whatever. It's just afar. So that, maybe, I mean, that's afar is afar. I mean, so it should be automatically part of the ground. Oh, that happens to be a machloket, Rabbi Yosef Rabbonon, as we will see tomorrow.
Don't you mean? You didn't see that
over here?
Oh, no.
I assumed it. Omer Shulam Bar Yitzchak, halakha tzukashti, mach seket, Omer lo Rebaba kiman, kebet shamay. Omer lo yalo kiman. Yigdamar Rebaba, hey, do you want me to money? Omer lo, let me tell you, buddy, it's bet shamay, and don't even question it. Maske lo nachra bar Yitzchak, we might have bet shamay, bet yilil, klal, even argue about a sukkatana. Maybe they're talking about a sukkah gedela, in which gigon de yativ apubin matuta, and Shulchanov etoch habayit, and the question is not about the kash of a sukkah, but whether gazrin and shemi moshe kach and shulchanov, they tell us avri lo gazrin. In fact, dekanami, that must be the machlokas, dekani. Misha haya rosh avru ba vizukah wa shulchanov etoch habayit, beit shamay poslinu beit hilel machshirin, v'imita, that they're arguing about the size of the sukkah. What is it talking about the person? It should talk about sukkah machzeket rosh avru ba vizukah, or ina machzeket rosh avru ba vizukah mi boile. Wait a second, Besukah Kana lo pligi v'atanya machzeket rosh avru ba v'shulchanok sheira. Rebbe omer ad shei ba'arba'amot al arba'amot. Whereas Tanya idach Rebbe omer kol sukkah shein ba'arba'amot al arba'amot psula. But over here, all of a sudden, the Chachamim change their tune and they say afil ina machzeket al rosh avru ba sheira without saying a word about shulchanok. Shulchanok lo katani. Actually, go back to the Mishnah. If we're talking about the sukkah, the person, shouldn't it have said, so why did it focus on the individual in the opening of the Mishnah? Now, switch into now the splice in the Mishnah. Splice now, back into the Mishnah. All of these cases, apparently, are going to Rebbe. Well, Rabbanan, nah, feel the table, Rabbanan. Ad kan lo kam, Rabbanan, ha, tamil, in suka, didirat arai, avad gabi bait, didirat kvau, afil Rabbanan mode, I ate be arbamot al arbamot, dire be inche, I lav, lo dire be inche. Oma mar, patu mena mezuzah, mena ma, kele matam, mena gai, mena dechlep, bebate ari choma, in chuzun, alav, mi orchi, anu choma, my time, in each of these cases, the Torah specifies bait. You need to define what that is. In marvim, boim, shtatvim, boim, minichim, okay, but it's mashma only eruv echatzerot. You said ein menichin bo, but mashma the shituf mevoot. We could leave in this thing menichin bo my taima. It's not worth just leaving it outside. Lo gora mechatzer she b'mavui. That's not eruv echatzerot bechatzer shituvei mavui b'mavui. What? Even in a Beit Shar, Achsad, or Mepeset, ain't no Eruv. Koshke, meaning in the Chatzer? Vadar Sham, ain't no Oser? You're right. Change it to read, Eruvei Chatzerot Bebayit Shebechatzer. Shitufei Mevoot Bechatzer Shebemavui. And this, whatever you wish to call it,
this pretender to a home, is lo gora mechatzer shebamavui. Ve'eno sino tovi burish ben shtei ayarot. That means that filu kaburgenin lo mashvino lei my taima. Well, at least burgenin is chazer lemiltayu. This isn't even chazer lemiltayu. Ena achim v'shutafim cholkim bo. You're telling me that only because it doesn't have arba amot, but if it would have arba amot, then we would be chaylik it. What's that? Ein cholkin et hachatzer ad shebar amot lezev arba amot lezev. No, what I meant was not in chokin, but rather in badin chaluka b'chatzer. The omer of una chatzer lefi petachel mitchaleket. Rav Chista omer noten lekol petach v'petach arba amot along the length of the petach. V'ashar chokin oto b'shave. So this doesn't fit the requirements because ani mili buy it to l'mahavi koyin. So yavina lei, but a chatzer. I'm sorry, yavina lei chatzer. But hi, this pretender to the mister koy anyway. Lo yavina lei chatzer. Tevin, and he says, "Beferush, I do hereby make you my floor." So that's considered to be a miut. Koshkein afaru bidlo. The case of Tevin, which you didn't say, but einatid afanato, and afar, which who knows? Stam. That's machloket Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan.